Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We appreciate you listening across the CBS Sports Radio Network on Sirius XM Channel 206, on Apple Music, radio.com, or on the CBS Sports app. And we appreciate you watching as well. Watch us on your phone. It's mobile friendly as well. WatchDA.com. You can go there on any device and watch the simulcast of the show, WatchDA.com. Steve Berline's going to join us, NFL on CBS, coming up here towards the end of the hour, 40 minutes past the hour. In about 17 minutes, we'll discuss just how dysfunctional the Oakland Raiders are right now. But I just need to take a moment and just discuss how disgusted I am with the rash of penalty flags for roughing the passer. Let me start here as a precursor. I understand protecting your investments. The NFL is set up unlike any of the other sports where one guy, one position on your roster takes up a massive chunk of your payroll, and it prevents you from doing other things. And unlike football, or unlike basketball, where one guy can alter the entire franchise, usually one quarterback also needs more help. Offensive line help, wide receiver help, running back help. And so as great of a quarterback as you have, what he takes away from your salary cap is really imbalanced compared to what the import is on the entire roster. But they are the stars. They are the Hollywood. They are the star makers. They are the ratings machinists. So the NFL wants to protect its investments, and teams want to protect their investments as well. The NFL is worse when Jimmy Garoppolo goes down with a torn ACL yesterday. The NFL is worse. It's less interesting when Aaron Rodgers gets thrown to the turf last year by Anthony Barr. The NFL is worse when Deshaun Watson blows out an ACL or Carson Wentz blows out an ACL. We don't want to see quarterbacks go down. We don't. It's not good for the game. I don't want to see it. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody roots for quarterbacks to get injured. Well, some might. I don't. So I understand protecting the investment. But at what point are we no longer playing football? And you know me, I'm not one of these people saying, smash our brains together. There's a war on football. Science is wrong. I'm the opposite. However, what you have at its essence is a combat sport. You can't take that away from it. It is what it is. For a living, I talk into a microphone. That is what it is. How it's delivered, what electronic device it is, how it's gauged, where we do it, what we talk about, that will all change. It will evolve with time. What we cannot change is the fundamental root of what we do here on this show is talk. The fundamental part of football is it's a collision sport. You can't take that away. Anybody that says, oh, it's becoming a flag football league, yada, yada, yada. No, at the end of the day, that's not truth. The truth is you have to collide with one another. Because a tackle is still a tackle, you must take the ball carrier down to the ground. Clay Matthews, week one against the Bears. Hits Trubisky too late. Fine. You throw the flag, It's after the play. Ball is gone. That's a 15-yarder. Last week against the Minnesota Vikings, he comes into Kirk Cousins, hits him not too high, not too low. Like the three little bears, just right. Doesn't do anything illegal, but lifts him slightly off of the ground, I guess, even though Kirk Cousins has left the ground himself, and the refs decide to throw the flag, which is egregious, which is wrong, which is the Packers should have won that football game, and that was a terrible call. But all right, fine. At its last little bit, the quarterback is off the ground and Clay Matthews comes down on top of him. Yesterday. There is nothing wrong with that hit. There is nothing wrong with the hit. I can't stress this enough. There is nothing wrong with the hit. Clay Matthews purposefully turns his head away from Alex Smith. It's not a helmet to helmet. It's not a head to the helmet. It's not a helmet to the sternum. It's not a hit to the sternum. It's not a helmet too low. It's not a hit too low. All he does is hit Alex Smith head on and tackle him. It's not too late. What can you expect Clay Matthews to do? What can he do? Middle of the air like Superman? He's supposed to be like Keanu Reeves of the Matrix? He's got to stop time, let Alex Smith fall to the ground, and then somehow warp his body around Alex Smith to fall away? You're hitting a guy. It's your weight against his weight. There is no other way to tackle another human being. This is so egregious. It is so unbelievably unlikable from this league. They are ruining this. They're botching this so badly. You want to protect quarterbacks? Fine. You cannot fundamentally change how a human being takes down another human being. One guy's got a football. The other guy is paid to stop the guy with the football. You can't stop him from physically putting his body into the other body. What are we doing? What are we doing? This is so far gone. It's so lost. This is the type of rule somebody that doesn't know football makes up. Well, I mean, you know, he landed on top of the quarterback. Well, what is tackling? So what we're saying is Clay Matthews has to run full speed, get around blockers, somehow get through other men trying to block him from the quarterback, and he has to try to tackle the quarterback by, I don't know. Once you get there, I don't know. Sorry. Clay Matthews says the ref told him you might just have to go for the ball. So now, if you are a pass rusher, you're not allowed to even physically touch the quarterback. You can only touch the football. That's how you're going to get sacks now. This is not acceptable. And for it to happen to Clay Matthews three straight games, part of me just wonders if they're trying to push a point now. Is this just an agenda by the refs? Oh, it's Clay Matthews again. We got to send the message. Every week has been worse than the last, and this is breaking point time. What are they doing?
Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction I think a lot of people don't like. You know, I think they're getting soft, and you know, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to keep playing hard.
The other part is they're not always calling that. There was a play in the game by Washington hitting Aaron Rodgers that wasn't flagged. It was almost the same exact play. So just kind of arbitrarily, if a defensive player hits a quarterback, then it's a flag. Even if it's not too high, it's not too low, it's not too late. I don't know. Just sometimes it's a flag. Sometimes, I mean, who knows? It's not that the NFL's too soft. It's that this is not based in reality. It's not. So how do you teach people to tackle? Well, they've got to put a shoulder pad into the body, wrap up, bring the guy to the ground. What you're saying is you can't do that to the quarterback. You cannot tackle the quarterback is what you're saying. You have to somehow alter the trajectory of your body as you tackle that one player. It's so ridiculous. It's so beyond stupid. It's so beyond stupid. I can't even take it. It's so beyond stupid. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. You should not do this to defensive football players. You want to make sure there's no helmet to helmets because you're about concussion safety, brain trauma, CTE. Fine. You want to reteach defensive players no slaps to the head. Okay. No hitting the knees, blowing out a guy's ACL. Fine. Don't hit a quarterback as he's sliding. He's giving himself up. Okay. But there is a fundamental way that a body has to collect another body to bring it down to the ground. Once you've tried to outlaw that, the game is not the game anymore. It's not even the game. There is physically no way to do it. John's next up in Houston. He dialed us up on 650 this morning, listening to CBS Sports Radio in Houston. What's up, John?
Hey, D.A.
What's up, buddy?
Mission aboard the mothership.
Thank you, sir. What's going on?
Thanks, D.A. Regarding this roughing the passer rule change, they just can't keep this rule, man. I think they change it next season. Do you agree? Do you think they change it mid-season?
I don't know if the NFL can change it mid-season. If this is in the rule book, they can tell the refs to back off calling it. But they can't change the rule midway through the season. All you would need to do is tell the refs, hey, we've gone too far. We've gone too far. Unless it's an obvious, evident, egregious 300-pound lineman is falling on a quarterback to break his ribs like Tony Siragusa did against Rich Gannon of the AFC title game 20 years ago. Unless it's like that, how can that be a penalty? You have to drive a guy to the ground. You're employed to get the guy with the football and bring him down to the ground so that he cannot throw said football or advance said football. That's his whole employment. You can't change that. So they just need to tell the refs, back off blowing the whistle on that. That's not a flag. We don't want that to be the penalty. It's so obnoxious. Michael's next up, also in Houston, listening to Sports Radio 650. Good morning, Mike.
Morning to you. Hey, I like I want to agree with you totally about the Patriots thing, but I want to add something. To me, it looks like they're also – it looks like they have the mental advantage on them, too, ever since the Super Bowl. It just looks like nobody's working together, and it just looks like they're – it don't look like he's connecting with his receivers, and it looks like Belichick is – like you said, competing against Brady, they're combating each other. And about last week too. I grew up in the French culture, and we thrive on arguments and everything. I grew up in Montreal, and I lived in Paris for a week for like 5 years. So we enjoy arguments and disagreements and discussion, and I wouldn't say it was nothing personal, just business, and I hope you use that as your job. So au revoir, bougie, and take care of yourself. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
What?
Nothing personal, just business when we argue. All right. Okay. I feel you. The Patriots have something wrong with them right now. It could stem from the Super Bowl and a locker room that no longer blindly follows Bill Belichick because of what happened with Malcolm Butler. It is also possible, note, that Tom Brady has been the front man to believing in Belichick, do it the Patriot way, follow the leader. And if Belichick and Brady are at odds, maybe other players in the locker room feel empowered to also doubt the coach. Just like Gronk talking about wanting to retire or go have fun, Danny Amendola leaving, other Patriots players that had played there in the past or people around the league chirping about how unhappy people are there. It's possible once Brady broke from Belichick in doing everything Belichick's way, it empowered other people to feel the same exact way. And now you're 1-2. You've just gotten beaten up the last 2 weeks by the Lions and the Jaguars. And now there's some real serious, I think, confidence issues with what Belichick is coaching and how he's coaching. The other part of it is just simply there's not a lot of talent on the Patriots. There just isn't. Now, Edelman coming back is going to help. Josh Gordon may help. It's a big if. But Belichick is going to go down the road of Josh Gordon, the ultimate tease, because he knows they need talent. And on defense, there's no cavalry coming over the hill that's going to save this defense. They are what they are, which is not very good, which is making Nick Foles a Super Bowl MVP. I think the Patriots have issues, and this feels like a 10-6 to me, which is not terrible. I mean, most teams would love to have a 10-6, but in Patriots land, that's a disappointing season. And I think it's a 10-6 that ends with an early whimper in the playoffs. When we come back here on the show, John Gruden, already at odds with his front office. Interesting report for Ian Rappaport over the weekend from NFL Network. How dysfunctional are things in Oakland right now? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And before they flip it back to Wilson, he throws it downfield. Wide open, Grant. Grant at the 20. Dives back inside the 10, breaks a tackle. Touchdown, Miami.
We have a lot of work to do here, and we're going to continue to work. I'm proud of the way we're competing. We played three teams, I think, that might be undefeated. I don't know. Played three good football teams, and we played them hard. But we got a lot of work to do here. We'll continue to work.
That's Jimmy Cephalo on Dolphins Radio. That's John Gruden after yet another loss, 0-3 for the Raiders. And if the wind is an Oakland Raider, that wind is pretty light, not creating much havoc, easily driven through or worked around. CBS's Super Bowl season continues with a great doubleheader. Frank Gore drives the Dolphins into an AFC East showdown against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Then Drew Brees of the Saints march north and collide with Eli Manning and the Giants. The action kicks off with the NFL Today presented by Jeep, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Dan tweets, "We don't know what a catch is, and now we don't know what a sack is. Hashtag not sustainable." Mr. Sam tweets, "DA, if the NFL does not want the quarterback tackled, then anytime the quarterback is even slightly touched by a defensive player, the quarterback must be considered tackled." Jonathan tweets, "Put all the owners in a room and have them try to tackle Cam Newton. Hashtag get him out." Senor Pantleg tweets, "Clay Matthews needs to understand that in today's NFL, you must have consent with the quarterback before engaging in any act of unwarranted sacks." I don't understand how this is possible to legislate tackling a quarterback. There's all types of late, dirty, certain body part, helmet to helmet, that I could understand trying to legislate. But now you are trying to legislate, as you tackle him in the air, you have to not land on top of him. You've got to somehow go matrix and shift your body weight off of him so that you don't land on top of him. I just don't understand how this is possible to continue to legislate. I think it's so beyond stupid. By the way, I mean, John Gruden trying to act like he's played three great teams, that's why they're 0-3. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reported yesterday morning that there are members of the scouting department and personnel department at odds with John Gruden, that Gruden came into Oakland and kind of created his whole entire scouting system different from their scouting system. And that trading away Khalil Mack was his idea, not anybody else's idea. And many people disagreed with him in that front office. And that right now there is a divide, not that he hates Reggie McKenzie or vice versa, but just there is a philosophical divide amongst the scouting department and John Gruden. Okay, let's start here with John Gruden. I think the Raiders, and specifically Mark Davis, Mr. Bowl Cut, Mr. Cereal Bowl Haircut, wanted to believe that John Gruden is going to take us back to the future. He's going to bring us back to the glory days. He's going to be on the sideline, and it's going to feel like the good old days again. And when you see John Gruden out from behind a desk, you realize, you know, he's kind of still got a bit of a youthful look. But Mraz, you would know this better than I do. Does John Gruden have a bit of a pouch right now? Is there a bit of a belly on Gruden?
He hit a lot of those Monday Night Football buffets, I think, for sure. You always saw Gruden with the tight suit, chest up. He's got, I think I would call it a pooch.
Okay.
A pooch. It's almost like a fanny pack built into his skin.
And thus, when I'm watching him on the sideline, I'm going, it doesn't feel like the old John Gruden. This John Gruden's kind of fat.
It's Fat Gruden, right? Fat. It's John Gruden plays Santa Claus, yes.
It's Pooch Gruden.
Pooch Hefty. Gruden.
It's not quite.
But that's the natural aging process.
I agree, but I'm just going back to that Raider fan, specifically Mark Davis, wanted it to feel like the old days. And when you see Pooch Gruden, now it doesn't really feel like the old days because it's, you know, it's like rebooting a movie and then you're going to, well, the cast has aged. I don't feel like I'm watching the old movie anymore.
He has the look of one of these former coaches that should be in the Alliance of American Football that launches in the spring.
Yes.
Right next to Mike Martz on the sidelines.
Yes. Yeah.
Chubby person.
Number two, I find it hysterical that John Gruden walks into a front office, not hired by the GM, hired by the owner. So the GM inherits him and thinks he is going to get support from his scouting department when upon trading Khalil Mack riffs that, well, we haven't gotten anything out of our drafts recently. I mean, we've got nothing on the roster from the 15, 16, and 17 drafts, so we need picks. I'm sure the rest of that scouting department is going, oh, well, thanks, John. We did give you Khalil Mack, and we did draft Derek Carr, and we did draft Amari Cooper. And before you got here, we did go to the playoffs. Right? I mean, that's pretty ballsy for John Gruden to shoot holes publicly into his scouting department's last three drafts when his quarterback, the star MVP defensive player he just traded, and a Pro Bowl wide receiver on the team were all drafted by that scouting department and that GM. Pretty gutsy, huh? You want to know why John Gruden might not be all that popular within that front office right now? It's because John Gruden is going to take credit when things are good, and the bad things he's going to push all the blame to. John Gruden has been used to getting loved up for 15 years because he hasn't done anything. He didn't have to be challenged on the field with wins and losses. And now suddenly it's, well, we're losing to really good teams. I mean, really, really good teams. Okay, well, that's one way to look at it. But frankly, I think that right now John Gruden's getting exposed. And this happens a lot when the broadcaster comes out of the booth. Everybody wants Bill Cowher back on the sideline. I don't think Bill Cowher would be a good head coach anymore. Everybody wants the guy out of the booth to become the guy again. I don't think they're going to be very good. You know, there's a reason they're in the booth. And for the Raiders, it's going to be hard to buy John Gruden if you keep losing. And where is Derek Carr taking that next leap? Where is the offense? Isn't he supposed to be the guy that fixed those things, but he's become just as conservative as he ever was? And in that game yesterday, I mean, who's the better coach team? It's the Dolphins. And that's a guy, Adam Gase, that might be on the hot seat. I don't know. That's just not a very good Raiders team. I mean, it's, and a lot of the stats that Derek Carr built up was because garbage time, the Dolphins had a lead and they just had a throw. I just think that John Gruden, the idea that you get to go home again is false. You don't. You don't get that back. It never happens that way, ever. Bring back Joe Gibbs. You ain't winning Super Bowls again. Dig up Dick Vermeil. You ain't going back to the Super Bowl again. I mean, he did win a Super Bowl with the Rams, but that was kind of that crazy lightning in a bottle thing. And then the longer he was around, the less effective he got. You know, you always want to dig it back up, and it's just never the same. You see that ex-girlfriend on Facebook, and you're like, man, we had something special. We should really be together. You know, we should go out. You know, when she's single again, we're going to go out. And I bet you we will rekindle something great. And we're both more mature now, and both now could understand one another easier. And then, you know, you go on that date and you go, oh my God, yeah, right. I mean, it's bad. It's wrong. It's dysfunctional. No. That's what the Raiders are living with right now. When we come back here on the show, Steve Berline's going to join us from the NFL on CBS. What happened to the Vikings? What happened to the Patriots? And what is happening with the Raiders? And more. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Damon, I love you, and I love everything you do. You're progressive. You didn't threaten me. You're the new age. You're what's next, baby.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Ike, how about what's now? Welcome back. 40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The best of video clips available every single day on our YouTube page. Simply search CBS Sports Radio, and you'll see our best of video clips also available on our Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TheDA Show. Again, facebook.com/TheDA Show. We're discussing the Patriots' loss last night, the Vikings' gag, the Raiders' dysfunction, and what is a sack and what is a penalty? Come on, NFL. Joining us on the phones right now, analyst for the NFL on CBS, good friend of the show. You watch him Mondays throughout the season on NFL Monday QB on CBS Sports Network. Steve Berline dropping on by the DA show this morning. Steve-O, good morning.
What do you say, DA? How are you, buddy?
I'm great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Let us start with the flags, the Clay Matthews penalty. How is this sustainable by the NFL if now they're calling when a defensive player lands on a quarterback as a flag? How can they keep this going?
Well, it's more than a head scratcher. I seldom can relate to the mentality of a defensive player, but this situation is mind boggling. I don't know what the intent of the league is here to try and manage it in any sort of a consistent way. It's almost impossible. I mean, because you look at examples of like what happened to Aaron Rodgers when he got slammed to the ground, which to me was a much more violent, much more dangerous type of a play than Clay Matthews hitting Alex Smith in textbook way with his head off to the side and with no intention of driving him into the ground. And it's happened, you know, now 2 weeks in a row, and there are several examples both ways of flags that are coming out in that situation and then other situations that look almost identical that the flag doesn't come out. And either way, the league comes and says they're both the correct call. And that doesn't make any sense because there's no consistency with the rule whatsoever. It's almost impossible to determine what is legal and what is not legal. And, you know, from an analyst standpoint, we're sitting here trying to explain it to people, but we don't even know. So it's, I think they've really created a situation here that is backfiring in a very poor way right now.
Patriots don't look good last night, and now they have back-to-back weeks where they've been beaten by double-digit points. The first time that has happened in 16 years. That was the last time the Patriots missed the playoffs with a healthy Tom Brady, 2002. In your estimation, what level of concern should be surrounding the Pats?
A high level, very high level. And number one, we all know better than to count Tom Brady out. We've seen this movie before. He consistently proves people wrong when they think the demise is imminent. So I'm not going to go there whatsoever. But the way they've played the last couple weeks, very concerning. And coming into the season, there were a lot of questions with the depth, especially at the skill positions. You know, the guys that they're going to be counting on to make plays offensively, has been a big concern. Now, obviously, they came out week one and played very well, but the last 2 weeks has been kind of exposed. I mean, Tom Brady throwing for not even 150 yards, I believe, or right around 150 yards last night, and Gronkowski was shut down, and Detroit just completely dominated that football game. We're not used to seeing that. And then obviously there's some questions on the defensive side of the ball as well. So I think Bill Belichick, he knows that he's got his work cut out for him. This is the kind of year that they're going to have to work for every single game, every single play they can make. They're going to have to try to squeeze it out of their team. And knowing them as well as we do, we can expect they're going to be a successful team. But whether they can make a run at the Super Bowl or not, I highly doubt it.
Steve Berline joins us from the NFL on CBS. The Vikings are supposedly a Super Bowl contender, but when you trail 27-0 to the Buffalo Bills at home, it leaves a lot of question marks. Are they fraudulent or just one bad day for the Vikes?
Well, I'm going to write it off as one bad day. They obviously were not ready to play, and I respect Mike Zimmer for how he handled it after the fact by saying he did not do a good job of getting his team ready to play. I think the Vikings are still in the elite level of teams in the NFC, but that was a big, big wake-up call to them, to say the least. And this is what I've been saying all along, and you and I think have talked about it, DA. I've never been sold on Kirk Cousins as being a guy that can get any team to the promised land. Now, he's made a lot of money over the years. He's put up a lot of big numbers. I think he's a good quarterback. But I don't know how consistent he's going to play in the big games. And when the team needs him to step up and make some plays to get them back into a game, a la Tom Brady, a la Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, all these people that he's getting paid on the same level, if not more, with the guarantees and everything, he has never shown himself to be that guy. And the way he kind of crumbled yesterday with the turnovers and not being able to get his offense even jump-started a little bit, that was a very big red flag to me. And we're going to see how he responds moving forward.
I think a lot of people will look at yesterday's loss by the Vikings and say, wow, that defense gave up 27 points to Josh Allen, a rookie quarterback in the Bills. But what you're saying is we should not ignore the role that Kirk Cousins had in that really bad loss, right?
Without a doubt. He's guaranteed $84 million, all right? He was brought there to lead them to the Super Bowl. He was brought there to be Tom Brady, to be Drew Brees, to be whatever quarterback you want to mention that's won a Super Bowl. That's why Kirk Cousins was brought there. And he's being paid that kind of money. He's been paid that kind of money for the last several years. He has got to be able to put this team on his back in games like that when they're not playing well, and find a way to get them into the end zone. That's what John Elway used to do. He could play terrible for 3.5 quarters, but he'd make 2 throws at the end of the game, and all of a sudden they'd be winning the ballgame. And that's what you're expecting out of your franchise quarterback who you've committed to, and you've got a team built around him.
As a guy that began his career with the Raiders, what is your read on the story that John Gruden and the scouting department, the personnel department, do not see eye to eye, and that now the Raiders are 0-3?
Well, first off, I'm not surprised by any of it. John Gruden, we all know what a strong personality he has. And, you know, when you commit to him and bring him in, to the organization, you know, Mark Davis and that Raiders organization knew pretty darn well what they were getting. And I think Gruden's got a more of a long-term plan. I think he's frustrated. I think everybody's frustrated. But, you're committing to him and saying that he's going to be the guy for a significant period of time, and he's going to want to do it his way, and he's going to want to make his decisions. And he's going to be abrasive to people once in a while. That's his personality. So they knew that going in. I think they're going to get through it just fine. They got to get that first win under their belt. I thought it was going to be yesterday. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for them. But I think once they get the first win or two, things will start moving forward, and they'll realize that this year they're not a contender. But the next couple years, they'll have some more cap room. They'll have a chance to bring in some more elements to this team, and I think they'll be competitive within the next year or two, for sure.
Okay, so you like the hire, and you have optimism that the Raiders under John Gruden, this is a bad start, but that eventually they'll get this thing righted sooner rather than later.
Well, I understand the hire. Let's put it that way. Whether I think it's the right hire or not, I think Mark Davis felt like he needed to make a splash and make a commitment to the long term and what he thought was best for the Raiders. And I wasn't in the interviews. I don't know what was promised, but John Gruden has proven himself, I think, as a coach in the NFL. He had all the leverage, and he got the deal that he wanted. Now, we're going to see whether it ends up being the right marriage. The personality conflict that seems to, follow Gruden around once in a while, that's going to be an issue whether they can find their way through it. But I think they are fully committed to him, and they understand what they're dealing with. And I think that he's going to get a fair chance to see if he can get it done.
Steve Berline joining us, an analyst for the NFL on CBS. Watch him today, as well as the rest of Mondays throughout the season on NFL Monday QB on CBS Sports Network. It's always good to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much, my man.
All right, DA. Take care.
Steve Berline joining us this morning on the show, and I think his thoughts, his take on Kirk Cousins is right. I understand it was a bad day for the Vikings defense. I understand they should not have made Josh Allen look like that comfortable. I realize they should not allowed 27 points of the Bills offense at home. And I understand that that team was probably overlooking the Bills before that big heavyweight matchup against the Rams. But Kirk Cousins has paid a lot of money to, as Steve said, jumpstart the offense. And that offense was dreadful the entire day. The entire day. And he's the orchestrator of it. He's the conductor of it. And they were awful. And if Kirk Cousins is worth $84 million guaranteed, he has to put them in the end zone a couple of times. He has to give them a little bit of momentum. He has to get a score before halftime, at least get them within striking distance. If your defense keeps giving it up, fine. But they were almost shut out by the Bills. That can't happen. Now we're told free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. Josh is next up. He's in Pennsylvania listening to 1440 to CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how's my newly wedded man at the controls of the mothership?
He's doing well, man. He's doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little confused as to how it's almost October here, and I think I'm most excited about baseball's postseason coming up than I am about watching some of these NFL games with these crazy calls and, the total confusion as to what the rules are anymore.
I agree. I don't know how the NFL can consistently call personal fouls or 15-yard penalties on the passer when what we saw Clay Matthews do yesterday has been legal forever and then also was legal in that game and other games. There was a hit like that by Washington on Aaron Rodgers that didn't get flagged. You are essentially telling a defensive player to run straight at the quarterback because that's his job. But when he gets there, stop running. Don't make contact with him. Only make contact with the ball. Do not try to tackle the quarterback. Just try to tackle the ball. Because if you try to tackle the quarterback, even if it's a form tackle and a legal tackle and not hitting the helmet and not going too low and not being too late, even if it's a form tackle, a legal tackle, within the realm of timeliness, in that game, it's still a flag. So you are now teaching guys or coaching guys, you can't do your job. You're not really allowed to do your job. It's one thing to say don't hit the head, don't hit the knee, don't hit late, don't go helmet to helmet, don't put a hand in the helmet, don't go across the face mask, don't even hit the clavicle or the sternum. Don't toss him down. Okay. But you've got to still allow a form tackle. And now when that's sometimes illegal, it's a bridge too far. It's utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. One of my good buddies, former roommate of mine, Brett in Buffalo, listens to the show religiously, was just at the wedding a couple of weeks ago. Text me, DA, you're tough on golf and Tiger fans. Nostalgia is a strong force. How else can you explain me still being a Bills fan? Look, I realize nostalgia is a big, heavy time, heavy, powerful, emotional force. And I get that's why people loved watching Tiger yesterday. And for fans that loved it, I get it. I think there's an overwhelming ridiculousness in the media about Tiger because media members that are now in positions of influence grew up watching him when they were adolescents or early 20s or something, and now see it happening again and can't stop the little boy from coming out. And you know what? That's fine because that's what sports does. It touches that nerve. But it is not in balance with the actual importance of the event. And so, I mean, you know, yeah, I'm going to be the guy that rains in everybody's parade. I'm here to tell you it wasn't that important. I'm just sorry. That's just reality. It wasn't a major. It's a weekend in September that football's going on. And all that he did was put himself in harm's way, rip apart his own life, and put his own career in peril. And so now he's back fine. It just wasn't that important. But the people with the hard nostalgia towards it want to blow it up like it's something bigger than it is. And it's just not. And that is just, unfortunately, the cold, hard truth.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.